Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of our radio program. Our TV videos are out there under the special tab of Bible videos, under the special studies tab, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in the study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of these Bible study periods or worship periods, and you would always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We want to take this opportunity to welcome and invite you to a special series of lessons that begins this morning at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We begin our spring gospel meeting today that will run through Friday, May 11th. We will be meeting at regular times today and on Monday through Friday evening at 7 p.m. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will be warmly received. Our guest speaker will be Brother Donnie Oliver from London, Kentucky. Brother Oliver is a young preacher, and he is beginning a new work that he began about 4 years ago, his first full-time work in the London, Kentucky area, and he's doing a very good job, and he will be our guest speaker throughout the week. We encourage you to come with an open mind, an open Bible, and to better understand God's Word. We don't want anything from you. There'll be no collections taken up, no so-called love offerings. All we want is for you to come with an open mind, an open Bible, and worship and study God's Word with us, that we can better explain the need and the understanding of God's Word so you can be the kind of person that will help you prepare, not just to be better in this life, but prepare us for the next life, and that is in eternity. And so again, please come and be with us this Sunday, this week, beginning today through Friday, as we endeavor to preach the gospel each night this week. In the past few weeks, we have been examining the book of 1 Peter. Last time we were together, we began examining the text of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. I want to read that this morning as a reminder of our text, and then we will begin where we left off talking about the special chosen generation. We begin in verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay at Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, we looked at the living stones in our last lesson, but we want to begin this morning by looking at the chosen generation. The blood relation of the spiritual Israel, not the Jewish race, through the new birth is what is being considered here. The elect race is used in the American Standard Version. In the Young Lytical Translation, it says the choice race. In other words, it's God's chosen people. Matthew Henry says it makes one family, a people distinct from the world, of another spirit, living by another principle, and practicing different things. And so we are a chosen generation. We are the spiritual Israel that the Old Testament prophesied about. In verses 5 through 9, it says we are a royal priesthood, royalty. Not only are we in a kingdom, but we're related to the king. We're in the king's family. We sit at the king's table, and he is the head of the church. We are priests in this kingdom, a kingdom of priests, according to passages like Hebrews chapter 13. A kingdom of priests, a kingdom consisting of priests. All Christians are priests. We don't go through a special clergy. We don't have the laity clergy system of the Old Testament time or of many modern day denominations. We have a kingdom of priests, and all Christians are priests and can offer their offerings to God. A priest has access to God. He can talk to God. He can pray to God. He can ask things of God. And he can also bring his offerings to God. He does not need to go through another person. He does not need to gain access through a priest or a preacher or by some other means. He has direct access to God through prayer. It also says that we are a holy nation in verse 9. Little difference in generation, a nation, and people. Are we not the spiritual nation of Israel? That's what the scripture tells us. A nation, a people distinct from other people. Why? Because we are in the family of God. We're holy. We're set apart. We're separate for a specific purpose. And we studied that in the first chapter, in chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. We're holy people, and we were separated from the world of sin to be a servant of Christ. And then it says in verse 9, we are his own special people, a people for God's possession. His own possession, what the American Standard Version says, it's the people to be his very own. Peculiar people, A.T. Robinson says, peculiar from the Latin for flock, and it gives off the ideal of possession. We belong to him. The ideal is that we are God's own possession, special jewels he possesses, and he keeps for himself that are precious and endearing to him. The value because we are owned by him. Ordinary things acquire a new value by reason of being possessed by someone special. Christians are ordinary people, but they acquire a new value. Why? Because they belong to God. And that makes us very precious and valuable indeed. We also see in verse 7 the privilege of this relationship. It says in verse 7 that this is an honor to be in this relationship. Precious, meaning honor, questions to whether or not honor we give to Christ or the honor that he has given to us. To you, therefore, who believe, it is an honor of being built on him, says Mr. McKnight. And Mr. Williams says, so you who put trust in him, the honor belongs to you. A.T. Robertson, in his comment, says, we're precious. The preciousness or the honor is bestowed upon us because we belong to him. Yours, therefore, is dishonor. Argues that if the opposite of shame, we have much to be thankful and rejoice over. And Barnes argues that we, as God's people, have this unique relationship. In light of what we were in darkness, now we are in light. We were brought forth in horrible darkness of sin, without any direction, without any purpose. No people, now or then, can survive without having light or having guidance and understanding. Read Hosea 2:23. It applies to the Gentiles and it applies to us. No, we didn't have mercy, but now mercy has been extended to us. No forgiveness, but now we're clean through the blood of his Son, as we read and studied in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. So again, let me reiterate that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, own special people that belong to the Lord. And it is a privilege to have this relationship and an honor. And in light of what we are much better off spiritually because we are in Christ. Now, Even though we're in this special relationship, and although we have all these excellent attributes of being in the kingdom of God, this demands something of us in this relationship. We must offer spiritual sacrifices, according to verse 5. Since we are priests, we need to offer our special sacrifice. What kind of sacrifices? Not the blood of bulls and goats, not animal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices. We do that in our daily devotion. We do that in our service towards others. And, of course, we do it when we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24 and 25. Acceptable. Why? Because the purpose is to please God. Our service should be something that seeks to please God, not to please ourselves. It's through Christ, who is our only intercessor. We proclaim his praises, according to verse 9. We proclaim them. We tell them abroad. They're excellent. This includes worship. This includes our personal discussions with those outside of Christ. This includes our discussion with brethren. It including spreading the gospel, being evangelistic, trying to get people to the cross, trying to show them the need for God in their life. You see, we are in a very special relationship. As a child of God, we are in a very unique position. We are in the family of God. We are in the kingdom of God. We're brethren. We're his children. We have this unique relationship. We are a kingdom of priests. We offer our sacrifices to God. And everything we do is to bring glory and honor to his high and holy name. And it is a privilege. It is an honor. It's not something that we should boast about. It's not something that we think that we deserve and we're so worthy of. But it is a blessing that God has given us because of his love for us. But with this great blessing and with this great honor comes great responsibility. The responsibility to spread the good news, to tell people of the love of Christ, to tell people about the cross and the love that God had when he sent his son, and the love that his son had when he died upon the cross. And even though we are in this unique relationship, despite what popular belief in many religions around us, that doesn't mean that we have our salvation and it's all put on a shelf and it's protected and nothing can happen to us and that we're going to go to heaven because it's written in stone and it can never be changed. No, we have to continue to grow. We have to continue to do the things that makes us acceptable to God. And we will read that and study that when we get to the second book of Peter, in chapter 1 especially, when we talk about the Christian graces and the things that we are to add to our faith to strengthen us. So let me ask you today, ladies and gentlemen, as we bring this morning's lesson to a close, are you in the family of God? Are you part of this unique kingdom? Are you part of the unique family and household of God? And do you have this special relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, let us help you learn how you can have it. It is for the taking for all who desire it. And God desires that all would be saved and none would be lost, according to passages we will look at later in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. And so again, we want to end this broadcast again in giving you an invitation to come and be with us this week as we open up the pages of God's Word to be edified, to be strengthened, and to be encouraged, to be part of the family, to take on our duty and responsibility, and to love God like he loves us. Please, come and be with us. We would love to see you. Have a blessed day.